Welcome to Jim's BBQ. Can I take your order?
He looks like a beaver trying to give someone a blowjob.
Would it fit your clothing style?
No.
Okay, so no.
You guys suck those fucking Mexican dicks.
It would have brought sexy back.
Yeah,
it would.
Just like JT.
That's what we've been talking about!
What? I met Chris Hansen once.
I hate fucking people.
Do you have a job?
Hey, Jim?
Yes?
Can you say wall again? Wall?
Big penis coming out of nowhere.
Hi, welcome to episode 54 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim. Or what should I be like? I'm Jim.
I'm Dylan.
What the fuck?
Dude, you were like... Dude, that was like a two-week backup of you ready to say it, man.
He's been like... Hi!
Alrighty.
Right out of the gate, shenanigans ensue.
Yeah, maybe I should redo it.
No, it was good.
Well, no, we'll put it at the Easter egg.
No, it was good.
No, I think you should let it run in.
Keep it going. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It has been a long while. I mean, I can't even remember what the hell we talked about on the last episode. I feel like I keep saying that.
I thought we talked about Dylan.
You're just getting old.
No, I don't think it's that. I think, man, you know, I edit the episodes and then it was what, 2.5-3 weeks ago when I edited the damn thing.
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. I was just about to say the same thing.
That was weird. What are you doing over there, Jim?
Nothing.
I don't know.
I think he's lying. I think he's watching porn.
That could be.
Porn.
Yeah, what the hell did I even title that episode? Do you guys even remember?
Hey, Grandma or something like that?
Oh, Poppin' and Lockin'.
Oh, Poppin' and Lockin'.
It's Dylan's new sexual move.
Yeah.
Drives all the guys crazy.
Mm-hmm. Popping and locking. But if you want to find out everything that's going on in our world, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
If you want to see pictures of me popping and locking it, you can follow us on Instagram at JimsBBQPod, and you can also follow us on Twitter to get momentary updates about me popping and locking it on Twitter if you follow us. Wait, I fucked that up. You can also follow us on Twitter if you want to get updates about me popping and locking it.
On Twitter?
Follow Jim's BBQ Pod. At Jim's BBQ Pod. Excuse
me. On Twitter.
On Twitter. We were standing outside.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
So,
that's a callback to an episode from a long time ago.
Yeah.
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 So, I don't know if anybody wants to know what Dylan does when he pops and locks, because I sure don't. You can email us at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com or go get the episodes fresh from the grill at www.jimsbbqpod.com.
And as always, you can rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Much to Jim's chagrin.
Like Chagrin Boulevard?
Yes, just like Chagrin Boulevard.
Chagrin?
For all of our Cleveland fans.
Right. I think that's where Melts was Chagrin, wasn't it?
Oh.
Something like that.
Melts. Best fucking place ever.
I know where there's a Melt. There's a Melt in Mentor.
Yep, there's one in Mentor.
I only know that because there's a pretty cool beer store across the street from it.
Melts is good. I don't know if I'd guess it would go best place ever, but it's good.
It was good, though.
It's pretty good.
It's different and unique, put it that way. I don't think I could eat there, like, weekly, but it's good.
No.
Yeah. If you're in the Cleveland area, go to Melt. Highly recommend it. Hey, but you know what? That's a bit of a plug, but I have another shameless plug that I wanted to get to. I think that if you are in the market for a shirt and you want a shirt that'll stand out in a crowd, that will just, you know, be something that everybody will come up to you and want to talk to you about. There's only one place where you can get a shirt that will do that for you. Do you know where that is, Jim?
Are you going with the Dylan Spanker t-shirt? Because it'll stand up in a crowd?
No, I was not going that direction.
Oh, then you must be talking about Grindr jerseys then.
No, I wasn't going to Grindr jerseys either.
Oh, I know.
I'm not going in that direction or erection as far as Dylan's shirt goes.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It would have to be the one and only Dottiekin's Ugly Shirts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I was about to be like, I don't know what you're talking about, and that's the truth.
Nice.
But, hey, you know what?
I mean, well, there's only two ways to get shirts in this world. One's from Dottie, and two's from Grindr. So, I mean, if it's not one or the other, it's the other, so.
Right. Right, exactly.
Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense what you just said. If it's not one or the other, it's the other.
If it's not Dottie, it's Grindr. If it's not Grindr, it's Dottie.
It's Edelstonese at its finest. You just have to interpret.
That was funny.
Hey, but you know what? If you're really into pop culture and you want a shirt to show somebody how much you're into, say, Star Trek or the movie Jaws or comic books.
Or our custom Jim's BBQ podcast Dottiekin shirts.
Yes. You can go to Dottie and she will help design a shirt for you that will just blow the socks off of everybody that sees it.
Yeah. And like we talked about on our the one episode where we met her in Rochester, what con was that?
Oh shit.
Was it the Kodak?
City Con, was it?
That doesn't sound right. Anyway.
But the one the one we talked about, you know, her shirts and meeting her and your obsession with fabric.
Yeah. Dude, I liked them so much. We left there, and I'm like, we need to go to Joann Fabrics now. And Mike just looks at me like, really?
Yeah. I mean, that was legit. That was no joke. Jim went to a restaurant with Kathy, myself, and Dan, and looked at fabric for over an hour at this restaurant.
Oh, and I remember you telling me.
Yeah.
And then we went to Joann Fabrics, and he delivered... I don't even know how many different...
It was like six different ones.
I mean, it was crazy. We spent an hour at that restaurant, him looking at fabric, and then an additional hour at Joann Fabrics of him shopping for fabric. But it's to attest the fact that he was so impressed with what Dottie does with her shirts that he had to immediately... get her to make some shirts for him. You know, that was the amazing thing.
I got to tell you what, and I know you'll agree because you said the same thing after I did, or we said it at the same time, whatever. They look cool. Like you said, it's anything you want it to be. The buttons, you got to look at the buttons because she is all about the buttons. But if you're ever in a vicinity of her, you got to put it on. That's the seller. It's, you know, everything else is great about them. But, dude, when I put that on, I'm like, holy shit, this thing looks good, feels... It fit fantastic. I mean, it's so comfortable.
Exactly. Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree with that. So, yeah, I mean, by all means, if you guys haven't already, look her up. Look up her Facebook page. Check out some of the shirts she's done previously. Go to your local fabric store and just look at the fabrics. If you see one that you dig, you can buy... that fabric there, and just ask her for what, you know, whatever, how much you need, and she'll make a shirt out of that fabric for you.
Yeah, if you find her, it's DottieKinsUglyShirts.com. You find her there too. She's got an Etsy shop too, so she even has some pre-done shirts.
Yeah, nice. I can't recommend her enough.
And I don't think Dylan still hasn't met her, has he?
Nope.
I don't think he has. He has a Dottiekin shirt though.
He does.
I got the Jim's BBQ one.
Yeah.
That I proudly wore on the ship.
You did.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed that she's not coming to Nickel City. That's where she's going is Flower City, because they're the same weekend. But right, we had a great time at Fox Brow Con. It was fun.
Yeah, it was cool hanging out with her. And then I went and got ribs with you. We ordered the same thing on the menu.
Yeah, we went to Ryan Finn's favorite place.
Yeah, Alex's.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most we've talked about barbecue on this podcast.
And that's enough.
Yes.
Now we need to go into another subject, because I'll sit talking about Dottie shirts all night. I think they sent you guys a picture last week. I got like 9 new fabrics to send to her, too.
Yeah, you did send a picture. You did send a picture, because I had a suggestion for you.
What was your suggestion? I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Huh.
Well, rather than send those fabrics via USPS or UPS or FedEx or DHL or Carrier Pigeon or whatever your preferred delivery carrier method is. Pigeon. Yes. Rather than do so, I suggested to Jim that he should hand deliver the fabrics up to Dottie up here in lovely Rochester, New York.
That's because you just want to hang out with them.
Exactly, man. I got selfish reasons.
I know.
I have no shame.
Shame.
No shame in my game.
Dylan, you seem a little on edge. You seem a little...
I'm not on edge. I want to get into the meat of the podcast. I've been podcast deprived for like 2.5 weeks. This is like my therapy session.
Wow.
I mean, you scoffed. Yeah, you scoffed at my carrier pigeon.
No, so I thought that was funny. Because I've said that before.
But yeah, well,
before we get to the meat, I hope you're drinking something that will maybe take liquid. That will maybe take the edge off a little bit. So what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking Dark City's Urban Decay Stout aged in Cabernet barrels. This is from Jersey. And it's okay. It's almost like kind of sour. So it's almost like a sour stout as opposed to like, you know, like a sour ale. So yeah, it's a little weird.
I bet the Cabernet barrels are doing that.
Definitely.
I think I've had one aged on or in wine barrels before, and I've had that sourness come through on a stout when they're aged in a wine barrel.
Yeah, so it's not my favorite. It was a gift, and I appreciate the offer up there, the generosity, but it's just okay. I might have to go grab something else after this.
I like the wax seal on the bottle.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, I like the wax seals. So.
Do you think that's almost a gimmick more than anything else, like just to kind of give it a little bit of flair?
Oh, sure it is, but it's cool.
I think yes and no, because I mean there are obviously like some beers where the wax actually does play like kind of a good, you know, kind of an integral part in it, because like we got like those Eclipse Stouts,
mm-hmm.
and they have different color waxes to designate what kind of and there's like a color code to go along with it. It says like, you know, that designates what kind of barrel it was aged in. So that I think is kind of a good way of denoting it. It's kind of creative without having to write like in big letters like this was aged in, you know,
mm-hmm.
barrels.
Well, it's like even the Three Floyds, the Dark Lord exactly. from last yeah. year. It was what, sparkly wax?
It was black, but it had like some, you know, it had like some Purple. Like some chrome, like a chrome sheen to it.
She said sheen.
I thought it had little sparkles.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, when you look at like a car and it's not sparkly, but it sort of has that like, you know, it catches the sun in a certain way. It's kind of like that.
I see. I wonder what color they'll use this year.
I don't know.
Purple.
I know one thing.
We'll find out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of a couple of weeks, we'll be finding out. That'll be a fun little trip to take, and I'm sure we'll have some stories coming from that. But
not me.
No, but you know, I mean, we'll share some stories with you from the trip. I'm sure, just like last year when Jim didn't go, you know, we were more than happy to share some of your escapades with him.
Well, you had to share them with me because I didn't even remember some of them.
That is true.
So, what are you drinking, Mike?
I have from Hardywood Brewing.
I'm sorry, but like, it's a funny name for a brewery. Brewery.
Hardywood is from Richmond, Virginia. I have their Sidamo Coffee Stout. Very nice coffee style, very nice flavors. I've had a few of their other beers before, and they always do a really nice job. Like, they do a gingerbread one during Christmas time, which is fantastic. They actually do a barrel-aged version of that one, which is even more amazing. But everything I've ever had from Hardywood is done pretty well. If you haven't had anything from them, Dylan, I highly recommend if you have an opportunity that you jump at it.
All right, I will. If I ever am presented the opportunity, I will grab it.
Very nice. I am drinking me some Mug root beer.
Mug root beer. How is it?
It's very root beery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sound a little down about that.
That's all good.
Seeing the picture that you sent me earlier, you were passing right by VME, that you would have had like a case of Sprecher's cream soda coming your way or something.
I just ran out. I had one bottle left and ran out yesterday, I think.
I figured maybe you stopped by there to order some then.
It was a sad day in the Edelston household.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. I can imagine. All right, so let's get into this stuff. I mean, I know we got a lot of topics at hand. So, Dylan, what's been going on in your world?
Well, I have another work story that has nothing to do with the bathroom.
Does it have anything to do with a clergyman?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, by the way, I got to go back to that story because I had asked you after the fact. Like after we got off the podcast and I edited that one, you kept using a term in the recording. You kept calling him a padre, and I had to ask you why. Do you recall me asking you this?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well. Yeah, I had to ask you why you kept saying padre, because I was like, okay, I know. I mean, your last name is Gonzalez. I know, you know, you're somewhat ethnic.
That had nothing to do with somebody. Well, vaguely ethnic, according to one of our friends.
Right, right. So I'm like, man, you're really getting a lot of use out of that word. And, well, come to find out that the priest was actually, what, Spanish himself,
yeah,
right?
He was of some Spanish descent. I don't know what, obviously. Don't think I'll ever find out either.
Yeah, never know.
What?
Back to put a fucking hex on me.
I'm saying. Never know, man.
I damn you to hell!
Trying to rip off the priest.
The power of Christ compels you!
Jesus Cristo!
Okay, so, but you have another story from the workplace, huh?
Yeah, and this one's not as long and involved, but
that's okay.
pretty fucking funny regardless. So, was it last week? Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. That's how long it's been since we recorded. We had it was Thursday, and we had a wine, like an in-store and wine sampling going, set up. So this guy called me like the day before, and he's like, hey, this is blah, blah, blah. I just need to confirm we're doing the tasting tomorrow. I said, all right, let me talk to my boss. So I shoot him a text. He's like, yes. All right, cool. Hey, we're all set for tomorrow. Great. See you tomorrow. So, dude shows up, you know, get him set up with his table, get him the wines, blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, all over the place. He just seemed like he did, like, at least 2 to 3 lines of blow before he came in. Because he was just so, like, hyper and, like, oh, do I need to get this table? Do I put a table over here? I got to put the wines here. You got some cold wines? You got cold wine for me? I'm like, oh, my fucking God. Jesus Christ. Leave me alone. Like, you ever encounter someone like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's like talking to me, he's talking to the cashier, he's talking to the other manager, and we're all just like, oh my God, this guy's like so fucking annoying. You know, he just was like, he's like all over the place and he just will not sit still. So I'm sitting at my desk and I'm finishing up my paperwork and I'm getting ready to leave. I'm leaving a little bit earlier than normal. And he comes over to me with this like waiver that I have to sign. He's like, can you just sign this? You know, just shows like I was here and approved. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, sure. He goes, hey, you guys got a really nice cheese shop. You think I could like come over when I'm about to leave and you know, maybe like try some stuff? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, why not? You want to try some cheese or whatever. So he's like, great. So he walks away, finishes up, and he goes back to the table, puts his stuff back, and I'm getting ready to pack up, and he's like, hey, I wanna try something. I'm like, all right, what do you want to try? And I like walk behind the cheese counter. He's like, oh, I want to try that beef jerky. So I said, okay. So I, you know, put on, you know, wash my hands, put on a pair of gloves, and I break off, like, you know, the piece, and I go, and I'm handing it to him. I go, here you go. And no, I'm not even fucking, I would never make this up. I hand it to him, and he looked, and like, you know, we make eye contact, and he just goes, you're hot as hell.
What?
He just goes, you're hot as hell.
Hmm.
And I go, wait, I'm sorry? And he's like, thanks, you're the best. Takes the jerky and walks away. And I'm like, did this dude just mack on me?
It certainly sounds that way. You know what I'm thinking, though, is maybe he saw the picture of you from the cruise with Michonne.
Maybe. But, like, he didn't say it. He said it low enough that nobody else would hear me, but loud enough that I would still be able to hear it and just be like, hawa?
Here's my take. I think he wanted to see what your reaction was to see if you were that way. You know, like, if you were into that, that maybe he would have taken it further, you know?
Hmm.
Oh, I was like, holy shit, that guy totally, and then I told so many people that the dude was just, like, was hitting on me.
You're proud of it. Let's see, you just read it around telling everybody.
It was so funny, and I told my boss, and he was just like, oh my god, he's like, are you serious? And I was like, he's like that. He goes, but then my boss said to me, he goes, I had a similar story. He told me he had a similar experience.
With the same guy?
No, the same guy. That would have been fucked up. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. I told my one coworker, though, and he just said, I take it as a compliment.
So, you know what's funny is, like, you're talking about how fast the guy was and how, like, he was talking really fast and moving around really fast. And, you know, it reminded me of, like, one of the other stories that you told about the couple that came in. And I remember referring to the guy as the micro machine guy because he was talking really fast, but I think he was a customer. Do you remember that at all?
What was the context of the story?
I don't know. The guy was just shopping, I guess, and he was talking really fast, and you were trying to help him, and he was, like, just really, he was asking questions really fast and stuff like that. It just kind of reminded me of that one.
I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, that was just, like, that was just really funny.
Wow.
It wasn't, like, a young guy either. Like, this guy was much older than me.
He was looking for a little, Cabana boy, if you will.
Vaguely ethnic cabana boy.
Yeah. Might be a, you know, like a future occupation for you or something, you know?
What, a fluffer?
Yeah, something like that.
That's what I see your occupation being, Dylan.
So, that was my work story. It was very funny.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Way to go, man.
Maybe he didn't actually want a piece of that beef jerky. He wanted a piece of your beef jerky.
Well, that's what I said. I was telling somebody else, and they're like, he wanted beef jerky. I'm like, yeah, I think he wanted to jerk my beef.
Hopefully your beef isn't as, like, shriveled up as a typical piece of beef jerky is.
So, that's my story.
What the hell was that?
What, my laugh?
That wasn't
me. No, he's like, so... Anyway, that's my story. Like,
there's nothing else to it.
Yeah. Jim just had, like, a really, like, delayed reaction, I think.
I thought he was going to do something else, and then he was like, that's my story. All right, next.
So, Jim, what's been going on in your world?
All kinds of good stuff, I guess.
You were down in the D.
The D?
Yeah, you were down in the D.
What?
I don't know what he's saying.
Weren't you down at
You Disney? Were down on the... Oh, Jesus. I couldn't figure out what he was referring to.
All right, fill me in, because I'm lost.
He was saying you were down at Disney.
Close by to it. We went one night.
I mean, you know, the one thing is after talking about this guy that told Dylan that he's hot. And then he says, you were down at the D. I'm like, I don't know that's necessarily what you want to say right after telling that story.
You'll never know. Dylan's that guy. But, yeah, I was down in the Orlando, Florida area. We went to Disney the one night. It's a good time catching up with my buddies. My one buddy I haven't seen in, like, over 10 years, so it was really cool. But the purpose of our get-together was Star Wars Celebration, which was a bucket list item of mine, and was coming to Orlando. My buddy, one buddy that works for Disney's, lives like 10 minutes from there, so it all worked out and it made sense and whatnot. But I think the biggest thing, at least for me, and I think they would agree, was, you know, we had a blast and everything was great, but I was more into the getting together with them and hanging out and all that good stuff and everything. So the trip was definitely well worth it. Well needed break from work. Great catching up and seeing them and hanging out. It was just fantastic all the way around. Now,
well, you met a personal hero of mine.
The Emperor?
No, hell no.
Oh.
Did you meet him too?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the old dude in the other picture I sent.
I didn't even realize he sent that picture.
Yep.
Did you meet CGI Peter Cushing?
No, I did not.
Oh, fuck.
That would have been cool, though. But,
would it have?
It totally would have been. So, are you referring to Mark Hamill there, Dylan?
Oh, yeah.
You like the ham?
Oh, yeah.
I love Mark Hamill. He's the man.
Yeah, it was awesome, though. He was really cool. It's funny, he could barely talk because he was getting laryngitis. But,
oh, that sucks.
Really cool, down-to-earth guy. It was a lot quicker than, you know, I would have liked it to have been, but obviously when there's thousands of people around, it's not something you can just sit there and have a conversation over some coffee.
I think I know why he was getting laryngitis.
Was he the guy that told Dylan about his beef jerky?
No. That sweater that he was wearing from 1992, the fibers off of it were floating off of it and going down his throat.
We were saying 1983.
It could have been that, too. Holy shit, man.
Dude, that picture, you posted a legendary sweater that he was wearing.
That sucker, man. I saw that. That's like, I was like, oh, cool, Mark Hamill. Oh, my God, that sweater is hilarious.
Well, that's pretty much the same process that we went through with me and Mike and Pat. And it's just funny as hell because my normal sarcastic self would have made a comment or whatever. But I think I was just so excited because I'm like, the little girl in me came out. I'm like, it's fucking Mark Hamill. But, yeah, the sweater, we'll have to post a picture, but the sweater was totally out there. But,
it was.
I'm surprised you hadn't made that your fucking profile picture.
Oh, you know what? That's a good idea. I don't ever fucking really think about that shit.
Because you're a normal human being.
You mean people who don't change it, like, every day?
Yeah.
I think mine went unchanged for, like, 3 years at one point.
Yeah, it was just, like, this very distant picture of you. And, like, there were times when, like, you would post, and I'm just like, I don't know who this is, and I'm trying to figure out who he is. I can't remember who he is, because you had such a bad profile picture.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
I will say this. You posted this picture to us of this, like, insane-looking dessert, and I'm looking at it right now. And I showed that to a coworker of mine, and he just was like, oh, my God, that looks dangerous.
Was it the Twinkie
like
dessert?
It's like ice cream and four.
This is a deep fried Twinkies.
Oh, those are deep fried Twinkies?
Oh, yeah. Talk tonight. So good.
Well, it did look good. And you know I don't have like a big sweet tooth, but that did look fucking good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Yeah, I realized
it's not lost on me that my profile picture is now about a year and a half old. I think, though, Jim, that... We should have the same profile picture.
We should. Actually, it
should be the one of us from Fort Lauderdale.
You know what we need to do is do that and then reverse poses.
Yeah.
And then like make mine yours and yours mine or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. I don't want to confuse Dylan.
Wouldn't we have to go back to Fort Lauderdale to make that a reality?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. I'm okay with that too. But.
I'm sure we'll have some good pictures up in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm sure. Certainly. Certainly we will. Yep. But it sounds like you had a real excellent time.
Yeah, what's weird, though, is like the con, it's, or I call it, keep calling it con, Star Wars Celebration, as much as I wanted to go, and disappointment's the wrong word, I wasn't disappointed, but I think my expectations were not what it was. I didn't expect it to be a con, like a Comic-Con or whatever. Even though I
knew a little bit.
I knew it was going to be kind of, but I didn't expect it to be one, if that makes any sense. The panels were cool. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, was it in some respects like the same old stuff that you see at like any given con then?
Not really, because the level of the front of the con or front of the celebration was, you know, like Funko Pop, that Japanese company that does all those high grade figures, like Kabuto, superherostuff.com, Gentle Giant, you know, Samsonite luggage, because they do Star Wars luggage now, which we've seen. Just all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, like top-notch, top of the line, but it's still all vendor-related. You know, probably stuff that you'd expect to see at, like, San Diego Comic-Con, I guess, or, you know, like, New York Comic-Con. Right. And then the further you got back, the more it turned into con. But everything was Star Wars-centric, except for, you know, like, some of the vendors sold some other stuff, but most of it was at least Star Wars-related, which was cool. But it was a lot smaller than I thought. Like, trying to think, did you guys go to the New York or Niagara Falls Comic Con a couple years ago with us?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't been to that one.
Well, you've been to the Buffalo Comic Con or whatever.
It was the one where Tito Santana was at it.
Right. It was probably maybe a quarter to a half a size bigger than that.
Oh, so that's not. Not too big then.
I mean, no, I expected it to be fucking huge. That's what she said.
Right.
But I expected it to be like 3-4 times the size of it. But like me and my buddy were talking too. He's like, it's all Star Wars centric. He goes, you know, imagine going to a con and taking out all the Star Wars stuff and then throwing it in another con. And that kind of makes sense. But it's just, you know, there was a lot of unique stuff there, a lot of cool stuff. They had the one spot, you guys know how much I'm into art and all that stuff too. They had like an art show there. And, you know, at one point I'm like looking at some stuff and I ended up buying two or three pieces. Like the two pieces were prints that were, you know, I think like $50 each or something, which wasn't bad. And then I got this Princess Leia pick that I don't know if I send it to you guys, but I'll have to send it. The guy did it like 2 years ago. It was her. I think it's called Cry for Alderaan. It's just the pose she's in is I like just fell in love with the painting and ended up getting that one. She's got a tear coming down her eye. But the art place was really cool. And there was like a couple pictures that I really, really dug. One in particular. And I'm looking at it and it's like, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't think, you know, by me saying this, I'm not trying to belittle art. It's just... It was like $1,800 and some dollars. And it was a reprint. It was a reprint on canvas. So it wasn't even the original art piece. And, you know, kind of like just knowing Shad, you know, it's like when you buy something from Shad, you get the original artwork. He doesn't reprint him. He doesn't, you know what I mean?
Right.
So in my mind, I'm like, this guy's got like 500 of these that he's selling for $1,800 each. It's not even the original and whatever else. But, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, this is really cool. And, you know, no way, shape, or form am I trying to insinuate Shad would rip off somebody else's artwork because he would in a million years. But, like, it was Boba Fett. And I bet you if I told Shad, you know, hey, I want a Boba Fett piece on this size canvas, he could probably make something just as cool or if not cooler. And I'm like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I like the piece, but I wasn't planning on buying it, especially at that price. But in my mind, I'm going through and going, Shad's way better than this. If I'm going to give anybody that kind of bank, I'm going to be giving it to him. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So, that's kind of where my thought process.
Definitely. I mean, if you're giving him that kind of bank, you're going to... And I know this is another plug for another one of our good friends, but you know if you're giving Shad that kind of bank, you're going to get something that you're going to like and... Or not like. You're going to love it.
Oh, you'll sleep with it every night, freaking...
Yeah, no shit, man.
In fact, he's
the guy does a knockout job with every piece I've ever seen of his. I mean, they're just amazing.
Yeah, what's his shadart.biz is his website if anybody wants to check him out. Phenomenal painter, artist.
We're just full of plugs tonight.
But yeah, they're just rolling right in. But it really did. I'm like, you know, and I was actually talking to Quigley today, in fact, and we were talking about different stuff. And I'm like, you and Shad have like really spoiled me as far as art wars wise, because you know there isn't anything Quigley can't do graphic wise, and as far as original like paintings and stuff like that, like you said, there isn't anything Shad can't do. And it's like, you know, and I'm looking at some dude that did a pretty decent job, but he reproduced it 500 times on canvas, made prints, you know, did all kind of other stuff. And it's like, you know, like I said, I'm just spoiled. And, you know, I immediately compared it to Shad. And I'm like, this isn't even his, you know, on the same level as him, you know. So it just, the art show was really cool. And I'm not trying to bag on those guys. I mean, there's different people do different things different ways, I guess. But it was cool because it wasn't like overwhelmingly art. There was like an art gallery that was pretty big. And then, you know, there was probably maybe 15 other artists that were there. And two of them I got pieces from. But that was the biggest, most exciting part to me was the art part. But like I said, there just wasn't anything that really overwhelmed me or knocked me over. There's one piece of Carrie Fisher that this guy did that I really liked. But he sold out of it real quick, of course. But all in all, it was a great show. I'd go again. I don't think I'd go to, like, California for it. But if it was in, you know, Orlando, my buddy was like, hey, man, we had a good time. Let's go again. I'd totally be in for it. I don't want to make it sound like it's not worth it. It is. It just wasn't 100% what I expected. It's more, if you set your mind to a Star Wars-themed Comic-Con with some kick-ass vendors, then that's exactly what you'll get.
I'm surprised that, like, with, you know, like, some buddies of ours were just down there this past week for the run?
Oh, Run Disney, yeah.
At Disney. That they didn't kind of, like, incorporate all that, like, together, like, into, like, the same event.
Yeah, well, and that's funny that you say that, because Red Pop hosted the event in, like, Thursday.
Or at least around the same time.
Right, and just all the way missed opportunity. Like Thursday, it took people like hours to get in. They missed photo ops and artist meet and greet signings and stuff like that they had booked. It was just poorly ran, and then they decided to open up more doors. Why they only had one door open for 3,000 people or whatever the first day, just for the first part. There was literally a 2-mile line to get in.
That's learning, you know, like your event and the people and how many people are going to show up and stuff like that. I see it like some of the events that like go on with like WrestleMania weekend, and like how like every year, like I see these posts from these places that run like other events, and they're like, you know, we just keep learning and we keep adjusting, you know, to your needs and what you want and how you want it. And, you know, and we just keep learning, you know, when we do these every year.
Right, but I mean, okay, so look at it this way. You know, say me, you, and Dylan get a gig down at the Orlando Convention Center, right? You know, say where it's a 3-day gig, 2 shows a night, you know, minimum, because, I mean, at that rate, we'd still be turning people away, probably. But, you know, you know, you figure 15,000 a night, you know, whatever, per show, so 30,000 a night getting in. You know, if it was us, I know we would talk to the venue. I know we talked to the, you know, other people around there. So it's not like they don't know, and it's not like Red Pop or Wizards of the Coast or whatever have never thrown Comic-Cons or shows before. You know,
but it also, I mean, like if the venue is like a place that they haven't run before, you know?
But that's what I'm saying. You would talk, to me, it makes sense to talk to the people where you rent it or you're booking it at. You know, they're the ones with the local expertise.
They've had to run events of that size at that venue.
Right, exactly. Well, and like, they only had one door open. The second day, they opened up 3 doors.
Well, like, when they did New York Comic Con the first year, they had to shut down the event. And this was in, like, 2006 or 7, I think. I think it was 2007. And, maybe it was 2008. I think it was 2008, actually. And they had to shut down the event, like, halfway through the day because they didn't anticipate so many people being there. And the carbon monoxide alarm went off.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. All days but Sunday were sold out. Okay, so you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We only went Friday and Saturday. But it's not like you don't know how many tickets you sold either.
No, I know. Like,
so that's what boggles me, too.
We sold, you know, 35,000 tickets. I mean, I'm sure it's more than that. We should accommodate 35,000 people, you know?
Exactly. You don't go, oh, I'm shocked everybody showed up. Well, you sold them a fucking ticket. It's not United Airlines.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, again, like, to just compare it to something that I know, like, New York Comic Con, I mean, the last year that I went was 2012, and there were 90,000 people in a space that only holds, like, logistically, I think, like, 70,000.
Yeah.
And I think just in the recent years, they actually had to start, like, spilling the event out into New York City because it was so fucking big. Like, going up to like 110,000, 120,000 people because it's become, you know, it's the East Coast con.
Oh, yeah. The only con I've ever really heard.
It's not even the same size as San Diego because San Diego, you know, you get all your big announcements in San Diego.
Right.
Because it's right, you know, right at the beginning of the summer. And you got everything going into like, you know, what's coming out later in the year and all that nonsense. And then in New York, it's just huge because it's New York.
Right. Only Comic-Con I've ever heard people talk good stuff about is San Diego. And I don't know if it's because it's so big or
I've
what.
I've actually heard a lot of people say not good things about San Diego because it is so big and because it has so little to do with comics anymore.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, back when I would go to a con when I was probably your age, it was nothing but boxes upon boxes of back issues. Now you're lucky if you got three vendors. But I don't know. It's just it's weird how it's evolved, too.
Well, I think that's why people like the Emerald City, which is a much smaller con. It's much more intimate because people want to go. They want to talk to artists. They want to get sketches done. They want to get autographs. You know, they don't want to stand in lines for hours because you know whatever.
But is there, like, you know what I mean? Like when I went to Toronto Fan Expo. And I don't know if they have it at the same venue every year or not, but that to me was smooth. It was like in three different buildings, like three levels in each building. I mean, you had to walk to get from the first to the third building, but it was way better organized. People flowed through. It was a good con. It was huge, but it just that's kind of what I expected Star Wars to be. Not that big, but like one of the floors of Toronto Comic Con or Toronto Fan Expo.
It's kind of like, you know, we've gone to some of the ones that I've met up with you at, Jim, or, you know, that we went to together or whatever, like the one in Rochester where we met Dottie. Mm-hmm. You know, ones like that were kind of cool. It's kind of like the same concept, Dylan, I think, where, like, if you go see a band that's up and coming and they're playing, like, a 500-person venue, like a little concert hall or something like that, and then, like, 2 years later, they're playing like the 20,000-seat pavilion, you know, like, you know, down the Garden State Parkway or whatever. You know, it's like you probably value having seen them at that little 500-seater or 500-person capacity venue than you would actually seeing them in that 20,000-seat pavilion.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you one story that's you know, that's even closer to the whole comic thing. The last year I went to New York Comic Con. I think I told the story before on the pod. I got a sketch from a guy that I knew from I saw his artwork online and I liked it. And I said, hey, I really like your stuff. How much for a sketch? $20. Got my sketch. I loved it. And then it was the year prior to that. And then the year after that was the last year I went. And he was there, and he was charging, I think, $50 for a head sketch, $100 for a full body sketch. Like, it's crazy what can change in a year.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
You know, like, that guy became an... And he went from, like, a nobody, or, like, you know, like a... Not a nobody. I don't want to say that, because that makes me sound like I'm just crazy. He went from, like, a guy trying to make his name in comics to, holy shit, this guy is, like, A-plus talent.
Right.
Kind of interesting, you know?
But see, I don't know. And kind of like you said, too, I don't mind paying $50, I guess, if the print, if it's a print and it's a kick-ass print or whatever. But like I said, like $1,800 for a reprint canvas, it's like, come on.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But
it's like Neil Adams prices.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, I mean, Neil Adams can kind of demand that price, but...
Yeah, but Neil Adams is also, like, a fucking loony guy, so... Well, like, come on. It's like, the only... Like, I remember I walked by his booth, and there was a whole list of things on his table, and it was basically, like, the price list. And the only thing that was free was, take a picture of Neil Adams. Free. Take a picture with Neil Adams. $20. Get a sketch of get a head sketch, you know, $40. Get a color head sketch, $55. Get a bust shot, you know, like $80. And then it just went on and on and on and on. And I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous.
You know what though? Work is not very good anymore. But to be fair to him though, he's a legend in the industry, and he was actually diagonal from Shad's booth and Buffalo or Nickel City Con last year, and you know, we got to go back and forth between stuff. He's a really cool dude, but I think part of it too, Dylan, and this is I think part that a lot of people miss, including myself, is, you know, he's Neil Adams. All right, first of all, you know, if you don't kind of put those things up to deter people, they're gonna nag the shit out of you.
That's true.
So I think some of it's a deterrent slash some of it's I can do this. You know what I mean? I think it's a mixture of both of what you're saying and a deterrent.
I hear you.
Well, it's like, Ming going to all these cons, you know, probably in the beginning, you know, it was like, you know, $5 for a hug or, you know, nothing for a hug or picture or anything. But now it's like $5 for a hug, you know, $10 for a picture, $20 for a handy, you know?
Ooh. Oh.
Well, God.
You know what I'm saying?
You betcha,
eh? I know what you're saying.
But no, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's there's a lot to it. You know, and
oh, I'm sure there is.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, you know, think about it when we went did our thing, Dylan. I mean, how many people wanted you to sign shit and you were like, God, this is tiring.
Dude, I would sign shit. If I was famous, I would sign shit all day. I just would not give a fuck.
I probably wouldn't either, but you know what? Yeah, that's another good example, though. It's like me and Mike, how we like wrestling. You know, I hear stories all the time, you know, just from different web comments and, you know, some of the wrestling websites and stuff like that. And the one dude that I've consistently heard great things about, I don't know, I haven't heard anything about him recently because I don't think he travels the exposure of what he did when he was wrestling was Triple H. Everything I've ever seen about that dude was everybody was always like, the dude takes his time with the kids. You know, he's not like rushed. He doesn't.
I still hear that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, and people have bagged on him, you know, just in the, just wrestling industry wise. And it's like, okay, bag on him all you want. But if he's taking time with the fans, especially the kids like that, that's top notch in my book, man.
Well, you got to think. I mean, he married the boss's daughter.
Right. Oh, he's gonna catch shit no matter what. But
yeah, he's gonna catch shit because of that.
That whole story is just funny too. If you ever watched the video of them two talking about how they hooked up.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another time. But I don't know. It's like, you know, granted we're full grown adults, but we grew up watching wrestling, so you know it's something that's entertaining to us. You know, whereas like, you know, you got John Cena and, you know, the whether you like him or hate him or whatever, you know, you've got different people that if it wasn't for their fans, they wouldn't be anything, you know?
Oh, certainly.
And I think a lot of people, when they do make it, you know, start to forget that kind of shit.
But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was a fun trip, dude.
Oh, the coolest part, though, I will say this. We got to see the...
I thought the coolest part was Mark Hamill.
It was very cool, but this was cool just because of the energy. We got to see the trailer first before they posted it.
We can talk about that.
Okay, well, but the trailer was really cool because they let us watch it first. Not like it was like a big, huge deal. It was just right before it was posted online. But the thing that was cool was the energy in the room and just how everybody like flipped out. And I just thought that was really cool.
Well, because it's kind of like, you know, people only get that, like, I think we talked about this in the Star Wars episode, but people only get like that about certain things. And Star Wars definitely brings out this energy in people that, you know,
They really had to hose down that room afterwards.
Probably.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it kind of brings like this certain just energy out that people, you know, don't really respond to other fandoms or other, you know, like circles of nerdy shit in it. I don't know. There's just something about it. Like, it's really hard to describe. Like, that sort of just captured this really cool magic. So that's like a really cool, powerful, you know, kind of uniting feeling to have. It's like, it's just kind of something everybody likes.
Right. Exactly.
So, but that being said, new Star Wars trailer, The Last Jedi. What'd you guys think?
Really wasn't a lot to it, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was a great trailer. Like, it's exactly what it should be doing. You know what I mean?
Getting you excited for the movie, yep.
But not spoiling it, not showing you all the cool shit.
Oh, if you go out, I mean, well, of course I was with the fandom, but dude, you would not believe, I mean, just how much people critiqued it as soon as it was done. And, you know, they kept replaying it and replaying it and whatever else, which, I mean, you'd expect them to anyway. But
I think I only watched it once, and I was like, I can't wait for Christmas.
So it was just, there's a lot to it, and people that, I don't know, I guess much more skillful with picking out the obscure shit than I am. You know, like the one thing which me and my buddies talked about right away was the plural of Jedi is Jedi.
Yes.
You know, not like your leaf and leaves, fucking jackass. Oh. Anywho.
Wow. Wow.
Just saying. I know it's uncalled for.
I was also just being a troll.
I know you were. I'm just still giving you a hard time. So,
you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying. But there's all kind of like Star Wars lore too that, you know, like it's kind of seems like the Book of Wills is going to play a role.
I know, that was kind of exciting.
The whole, you know, thing like people were talking about, like, you know, the Grey Jedi, and I can't remember what the one character in Rebels was about. He wasn't light and he wasn't dark, but he walked the path of the middle or something like that, you know, like Grey Jedi and all that. So that's the theory everybody had there was, you know, the Grey Jedi and, you know, him saying that it's time for the Jedi to end doesn't necessarily maybe mean that. It just means that he feels like everything that the Jedi teachings were and the light side is all bullshit.
But
Johnny Cash, he walked the line?
Yeah.
Yeah. But evil cannot prevail.
Right, but it's... I mean, go out and Google Grey Jedi. It definitely will give a better explanation than I do. But Grey Jedi are basically... ends justify the means isn't the right way either. It's the balance.
They look at both sides.
Right.
They see, what's the good and the bad of both sides, and they straddle the line. They're not necessarily good, but they're not evil.
Right, but I mean, they keep the balance, basically. And, yeah. You know, and honestly, I mean, if you were dark side... I mean, the whole premise of the dark side is pretty fucked up. There's only two of you, okay? And your master's always looking to replace you, and you're always looking to kill your master to become the next guy. So it's like...
Well, there was, like, there was a whole race of dark side beings at one point.
Right, there was.
Basically, like, massacred them, right? Like they.
Yeah,
they
but they're evil, so of course they're going to try and take each other out.
Well, yeah. Now the Jedi happened to prevail.
Exactly. But... I don't know. There's a lot of cool fan theories out there. It was pretty cool listening to the people there talk about what they thought as soon as they've seen it and replayed it and watched it and all that stuff. But lots of cool shit. If you put the first trailer from Force Awakens and this one next to each other and started at the exact same time, it plays at the same exact cadence, I guess. You know, even when the screen blacks out and it fades into different scenes. Like when Rey jumps down and she's like, and Luke goes breathe and she's like, it's like that was the scene when Finn popped his head up on the desert and he was like, it's like completely in sync.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that's just like, oh, they had a good marketing way. So I think people were kind of being a little nitpicky when they did that.
I don't know. I think stuff like that's done on purpose.
Oh, I think it absolutely is. I think people need to relax. That's what I'm saying. I think people need to relax.
No, I'm just, it's just. All the, like you said, marketing. I mean, they throw in Easter eggs like that. Not as good as the ones Mike does, but they throw in those Easter eggs.
Huh.
And, you know, it gets people talking about it. It gets, exactly like you said, it's what a trailer should do. Get you excited about it.
So, it's just kind of interesting that it looks like the Book of the Wills is playing a part in it, considering that they made, like, kind of an obscure, not even obscure, they made a reference to it in Rogue One.
Right.
Yeah.
Still don't have that on DVD.
Lame.
Gotta get it on Blu-ray, son.
Yeah. Actually use my PlayStation 4.
Fuck that thing.
We just rewatched it again a week or two ago, Liz and I did.
So
fucking good.
I really enjoyed the movie, too. I don't...
Dude, I fucking loved it. I mean, I gotta watch it again, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I loved it.
Do you love it like a fat kid loves cake, though?
Yes.
All right. That's the answer I was looking for.
But, hey, did you guys see the side-by-side thing that I sent to you with the trailer? Like, where... I'm trying to think of which one it was. That where it almost matched up. Like, it looked like the same trailer as, I mean, maybe it was Force Awakens.
That's what I was just saying, dude. Where were you at? Were you talking to Liz?
Oh, my...
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You know what? I totally spaced out. I was reading something.
Wow! Oh,
who was that?
Oof.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Hi.
Tim. Sergeant.
Hi, Pot. Meet Kettle. His name's Mike.
I'm Pot. I'm Mike. I know.
I'm totally spaced out. I was looking up something for one of the next segments. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what were you looking up? But yeah, me and Dylan actually had like a 10-minute conversation about it. It's cool.
I'm sorry, guys.
Well, it's good to know that Mike wasn't paying attention for a full
10
fucking minutes.
Yeah.
You guys just keep going, and I just spaced
out. Dude, you had to. I mean, 10 minutes is exaggerating, but it was probably at least 2 minutes.
Oh, that's funny.
Ooh. Oh, God. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's all good, dude.
I did. Totally fucked up.
It's all good in the hood.
Now you fucked up.
You fucked up. You fucked up. You fucked up.
I really dug the trailer.
I'm glad we have some input from you.
Thanks for chiming in, Mike.
I really liked Rogue One. I gotta rewatch Force Awakens. I don't think I've watched it since seeing it in the theater.
That was another thing that I heard, the consensus is kind of weird to hear from fans is, and we talked about it before, like all the nods in Force Awakens to... I guess the original trilogy, you know.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
You know, and they were like, oh, I hope the story stands on itself. And, you know, now that they did all the you know, the nods and all the, you know, throwbacks and all that, you know, hopefully they really get to the meat and potatoes. And I agree, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I want to see what it is. I want it to be what it is, Not, I don't want it to be forced by anything either. Oh, excuse me.
But it's funny to hear.
Forced? By anything?
Ah, I see what you did there.
It's funny to... Like, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were hanging out the other day, and she's like, I still haven't seen Rogue One, and I don't know how I feel about it, because a lot of people just didn't like it. And I'm like, I loved it. She's like, well, you're, like, the only person I've spoken to that, like, loved it. And I'm like, really? Because, like, everyone else that I talked to was, like, really, really, like... Well, most people. I mean, like, I would say 95% of the people that I talked to about it really, really liked it.
I thought it was good.
You should talk to those guys I do the podcast with. They loved it.
Did I mention I do a podcast?
She does want to listen to the podcast.
It's called Jim's BBQ Podcast.
You know what I was thinking about? I
can't wait to hear that playback.
You know what I was thinking about today, Mike, for some reason?
Cock?
The noise.
What's that noise?
You know, the noise.
Oh, the one that you can use in the bathroom that could be either
the
you're
disguise
really
noise.
Having a good shit or you're having a really good time.
Yeah, I don't know why. Oh, I know why. It was just because
you were
really...
in the bathroom taking a shit.
Yeah, no, it was not that. It was, I just was like... I was in the warehouse putting something away, and I saw my coworker there, and I kind of just, like, stuck up behind him. I went, oh, and, like, I scared him. He's just like, dude, it sounds like you're blowing a load. And I'm like, and,
see?
And I proceeded to just go, like, for, like, a good 30 seconds, and he's, like, laughing his ass off, and I was like, dude, what if you just couldn't stop? You're just like, like, what would happen? Would you eventually pass out from, like, it just being, like, so enjoyable?
Maybe.
It was a very weird conversation.
Sounds like it.
I definitely derived way too much amusement out of it.
So yeah, listen to my podcast.
Oh, good times.
Indeed.
So what are we on to?
Well, you know, I asked what you guys were doing, and I haven't really had much going on in my life. But I started getting into watching this show, and I don't know that it's necessarily geared towards my age, but I
Yo Gabba Gabba?
Did you start watching the pony show?
No. I started watching that. It's on Netflix.
Are you a brony?
Oh, the 13.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and it seems to be trending right now. It's 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
It's interesting. You know, I've read a few articles where people... I haven't finished it yet. I think I'm 10 episodes into it now, and there's... Imagine that, 13 episodes total. And one of the things that I've seen are... There are a lot of articles... warning parents about the show and, like, the dangers of and the glorification of teen suicide that might be presented in the show. And, you know, I can understand where they're coming from with that, but I'm also, like, really concerned about, like, when I was a kid, and I'm sure when you were a kid, Jim, and Dylan, it's not too far off from when you were a kid. I mean, you're
last
you're
week
younger than us, so. Yeah, so
last week.
So I mean, it's probably all that much more present, or you know, you remember it more so than the rest of us do. The bullying, like when you were in school.
Oh yeah, I was definitely subject to bullying.
Yeah, and you know that's the part that kind of concerns me is like a lot of the articles I'm reading about it are like discussing the glorification of the teen suicide, which is obviously a pretty huge part of the show, but I'm more so concerned about, like, how, you know...
Was glorification really the right word?
That's what they kept using in these articles.
Because what I've read about it, it kind of...
They kind of romanticized it.
I mean, obviously I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, some of the people that I, even, like, at work and stuff, they're like, oh, I want my kid to watch this because, you know, the message and...
Well, right, but I'm more so referring to, like, what the article said as far as what some parents are concerned about with the show.
Right, gotcha.
I mean, you having a teenage daughter, I'm sure that's just present, like, where kids are just vicious nowadays. Hell, I mean, they were vicious back when we were in school, you
right.
know?
Well, they're also vicious now in different ways because of the onset of the internet.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
That's like a whole new... That gives you all new ways to be really nasty to people, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're like... You know, we're like... you know, making... And one of the examples that they did was... And I remember this happening in my school and boys getting suspended for it. Were making a list of things like rating the girls on like... best ass, best tits, best smile, best lips, things like of that nature.
Yep.
That actually occurred in my school, and I remember some of the boys that made that list got suspended for it. that stuff, I'm sure, still occurs today, and it probably occurs in different manners now. It probably occurs on social media, you know, and all of that stuff is probably used to accentuate those lists, or add to those lists, you know, pictures and things of that nature that those kids are, you know, just adept at using to kind of further their message, if you will.
Well, I mean, if you go by the Social Network, the movie about Facebook, I mean, that's basically what Facebook was. It was face smash. It was just like, who would you rather do?
Right.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
I mean, you still got the stuff, swipe left, hot or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, at least in that, it's, like, been relegated to, like, a dating apparatus, so there's, you know, more of a purpose to it, and it's, but it doesn't really make it any better.
An apparatus, you say? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I don't remember that going on or us even doing that when I was a kid or younger in high school, whatever else. But I don't see what the big deal about making a list of who you think's hot and stuff like that. I mean, that's just, you know, like the passing the note, like, I think you're cute, you know.
Well, it wasn't even that, Jim. It was more so that list would then get passed around to everybody in the school.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's the shitty. Yeah. It's not just like you go home on a Friday and you're like, oh man, like, you know.
Oh, I'm gonna call Lindsay and tell her I think she's cute.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. It's
Brittany's so pretty. You know, it's more just like I made this list and it's just like here's all the hot girls, here's all the not hot girls. Like that shit. You know, that can fuck with definitely.
Look, I see what you're saying.
Oh, shit. You know what? I realized I just used a fake name and I didn't use her requisite.
Dominique.
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 You gotta go back at least to last August.
I don't really know anything about the show, nor am I that interested in watching it.
It's interesting, but part of it, I can kind of relate to some of it, like you said, because of, you know, like the bullying aspect of it and not being too far removed from that. I mean, I can remember some of the bullying that occurred, you know, that I was, you know, not a part of, but was the recipient of, believe it or not, you know, my size, you know, that, you know, but I definitely got bullied.
Definitely did my share of bullying, and it wasn't like I, you know, went up and hung somebody by their underwear from a flagpole. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like verbal bullying, you know, like, you know, kids are fucking mean to one another.
Well, grandma was.
Right. And, like, we were definitely. Like, my friends and I were definitely. At certain times, like, I wouldn't say we were, like.
Come getting back so late.
You know, aggressively going after people, but we definitely, in our own way, kind of.
Chill?
You know, made people definitely feel shitty because we didn't want to hang out with them, or we just were like, they're lame. You know, we're better than them. Even though we were considered, like, the biggest group of freaks in the school.
Yeah, but I can definitely see where, like, this show is trending amongst people that, like, I'm friends with on social media, and seeing a lot of people commenting about it that, you know, on social media. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I think it's relatable. I think a lot of people can relate to it, even though it skews towards, like, an age, you know, that's a little younger than the rest of us or a lot younger than us, you know, that I'm friends with, it's still relatable in that sense. We can still go, okay, yeah, I remember what that felt like.
Right.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, I think it's kind of interesting.
It's a shitty feeling too. I mean, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things that were kind of uncomfortable about it. Like one of the recent episodes I watched, I think I just finished the 10th episode. There's one, like, an episode or two ago where there was a rape scene, which was really, yeah. And I was just like, and they even put a warning up at the beginning of the episode that there was rape in the episode. And I was just like, oh, man. And then they showed it, and I'm like, ooh, this is bad. And you got to bear in mind, these actors are portraying... What in the fuck is going on?
I just walked downstairs.
What did I fucking say?
I was getting another beer. Leave
the fuck alone. I was like halfway through, Dylan's gonna do something to fucking piss Mike off.
It sounded like fucking like Bigfoot was headed somewhere.
Oh, the stairs are really creaky. I live in an old house.
I guess. You all settled now?
Yeah. Wow.
I just want to make sure.
You done? You finished?
Oh, fucking Sarge. About as bad as me not remembering or not noticing that you guys talked about the trailer. It's really kind of an interesting character study, even though like the age of the people skews to a younger audience that might be kind of suitable to like people like your daughter's age, Jim.
Right.
It's still kind of interesting to watch and relate to in some respects. But that's what I've been up to lately is binge watching that. I haven't gone on any trips. I haven't had any interesting work stories. I've been watching TV shows on Netflix.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, Jim, I got to ask you. You posted this thing the other day, or maybe it was earlier today, about game shows.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about game shows?
That was also part of my Florida trip. There's a channel down there. I don't even know if I have it or not. It's called Buzzer. It's all game shows, 24/7, and like especially like the old ones, like Card Shark, Tic Tac Toe, Pressure Luck, like all that shit. So me and my buddy Pat, like my buddy Mike's kids would go to bed, and him and his wife would go to bed. We'd watch fucking game shows. So I got hooked.
Is it like what Show Network was?
Basically, yeah.
I mean, there was the Game Show Network, and they showed like all the like old like vintage game shows on it for a long while.
Yeah.
I wonder if it maybe they changed the name of it or something.
It could be. I mean, it's like Nick at Night for game shows. So,
right.
So we got hooked on it, and I was looking up something about game shows, and Shad mentioned, I can't remember what it was, the video game show back, like, I think maybe early 90s, and I forgot, Starcade, I think it was called. I forgot all about it, but I was looking up something, and that list came up, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Ended up sending.
It was like the old like NWA / WCW pay per view.
Yes, that's true too.
WrestleMania.
That's probably where they got the name.
It could be, you know, like you were saying, a video game. Man, there was one like on Nickelodeon that where they made like their own video game, but it was like a game show for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then the kids would end up like in it. I remember this. They would end up like almost like in a video game.
Oh,
they
were, I think I remember that show.
And they were having to jump over shit.
Double Dare.
Oh, yeah, dude, I used to love that fucking show.
I can't even remember the name of it, but I kind of remember Isn't seeing it.
Just called Nick Arcade.
But, fuck, I don't.
Whoa, know. What was that?
God, you guys are really fucking hypercritical tonight.
Shush.
It's like we haven't recorded in like 3 weeks, and it's like, Jesus, man, you attack everything.
we're just like on the attack, ready to go.
You're like on the fucking buzzer, so to speak. With the game shows, you're on the buzzer, ready to fucking buzz in on anything that you think is, you know, like, not.
Oh, you mean we're ready to be like, hey!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Jim's sound for the buzzer.
Yeah. Ah.
Jesus Christ.
So
did they take a drink right as you did that?
So did the whole game show thing that led to the Rolling Stone list?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I guess you want to jump into that then, as far as this Rolling Stone list of top 100 TV shows ever.
Yeah, let's jump into it, and I think some of them are bullshit, but you know, Dylan, I don't know. I know me and you should at least know most of them. Dylan may or may not. I don't know.
I gotta cue the list up.
Yeah, I mean, I went through the list and I put them into a text file just so we didn't have to scroll through that fucking website, because that website was painful.
You made the list.
I know. You just made the list.
I feel like I've read this before.
Maybe you did. I mean, it dated back.
Oh, because it's from 2016. That's why.
Yeah,
that's like less than a year ago.
It dated back to the fall of 2016. Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, no, he's like, Dylan's like a millennial. He's like, this is old.
This list is 6 months old.
Oh, no, but I thought it just like came out. I'm like, wait a minute. I swear to God, I've read this before, like in print form.
But we're going to kind of just go through these, I think, pretty quick. And we'll, if we have any ones that stop us, you know, we will. We'll count down from 100. And there's 100 TV shows, so we don't want to like get into.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to go through 100 of them. And
we'll go through 100, but we'll kind of read them off pretty fast. So you got Eastbound and Down, which was, I think, pretty brilliant. Oz, I never watched. The Golden Girls. Portlandia.
I've never seen it, but I feel like the Golden Girls should be a little higher up on the list than.
Golden Girls was pretty classic. I mean, it was a good comedy.
Yeah, it was. I remember watching it with my grandparents all the time.
This fucking website is just like horrible.
That's why I put it into a text file, dude. If you go to the drive, you'll be able to.
Oh, right. I forgot you did.
It's horrible.
It is. It was so fucking hard.
Who's the Sarge now?
Oh, wow. I didn't even mean to. I just, like, accidentally clicked on it, and there it is.
Yeah. So, like, Portlandia, I didn't watch that one. I don't have any knowledge of it or anything like that.
I've seen an episode here. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I know nothing about it.
Smoke was pretty classic, but I didn't watch any of that when it was on.
Key and Peele is very funny.
It is, but I don't know if it's even top 100 worthy.
But you mentioned game shows, so, like, Jeopardy shows up. Which I thought was pretty cool because, I mean, it has quite the history on it and everything.
Right.
Obviously, the Trebekian version is pretty iconic. It's been around for, what, like 30, 40 years, something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And then it dates back prior to that, even. And then MST3K, which
that
I thought...
That should be fucking way higher.
I agree with that, too.
I thought that was kind of neat. I don't know if you guys are aware, but they just debuted the new episodes with...
Yeah,
I
haven't watched it yet.
With Jonah Ray from the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah,
he's actually pretty good on it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Liz and I got into like the first episode, but I mean, we got into like I think we watched the first hour or so of it. It was pretty funny.
My next tattoo is MST3K inspired.
I thought,
American Idol.
Yeah, American Idol. I don't think deserves to be on that list.
I think American Idol
is probably the worst show as far as what it's done for music.
But at the same time, it was a cultural phenomenon.
I agree with that part, but I don't think it's worthy.
Because everybody and anybody watched it. Like, and that's a good point, Dylan. I mean, my parents watched it. It was like one of those shows that anybody could get into. Because of the way they presented it.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Broad City,
I don't even know what that is.
I fucking love Broad City. It's hysterical. But it's really, like, geared more towards people in my age range.
Okay. Dick Van Dyke was pretty classic. I mean, that's a... I like that they mixed in a lot of older shows.
Yeah.
Like, Homeland is pretty amazing. I don't know if you guys have watched any of that. It's
no,
good...
but does it really? Is it really like one of the 100 best shows ever?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. The next one, to give you guys a reference point, I looked at this show and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is Party Down?
Okay, Party Down is fucking hilarious.
This is what I was researching while you guys were talking about the trailer. Because I had no idea what the hell it was.
Party Down is so fucking funny, but it was only 2 seasons and it got.
But you look at like the pedigree of the people that were in it, and you go, "Oh my god, what? This has to be a good show."
Dude, it's fucking hysterical.
Next up, Doctor Who, which I mean, iconic and has lasted forever. There's one issue I have with Doctor Who.
I've never seen an episode.
The thing I don't like about Doctor Who is you can't invest any time in the people that are on the show.
Because they change it so much?
They change it so freaking much. Like, at best, like, the person who plays the doctor might last, like, a season or two. Maybe three.
Yeah, they change him up a lot.
Or the companion might last, like, two or three seasons. And it's just... I like to, like, when I watch a show that has had, like, a pedigree or, like, a length of time like that, I like to invest myself in the characters. And the character just keeps changing and changing and changing. It's like, parts of that show are amazing. I watched all the way up through, like, all of the David Tennant stuff and some of the Matt Smith stuff, and it's good, but then I'm like...
I quit. I just could not invest myself in the rest of the series.
It's just not for me. I think after a season of Matt Smith, I was like, okay, we kind of just kind of gave up on it. Good Times is pretty classic.
Yeah. I mean, Jay Walker.
Now, The Real World, I think without The Real World, there are no modern-day reality shows.
I agree. Or not in the fashion that they are right now.
No, not at all. You wouldn't have Survivor, The Amazing Race, or Big Brother, or any of those type of shows. You wouldn't. Real Time with Bill Maher is pretty cool that it's on that list.
I'm kind of over Bill Maher, but whatever.
Yeah, fuck Bill Maher.
We actually saw him in a show at a show like where he was just it was a speaking engagement. It was actually a pretty cool show.
I don't think House of Cards deserves to be on the top.
I agree. I like it a lot, but I don't.
I think they're just like, oh, we got to get on the Netflix something. It's like
they're trending. Trending exactly. Towards like a popular show now. And there's
I don't think so.
There's a few of those that are on here that I'm kind of like, ooh. And I kind of wondered if that was the case. The Jeffersons, Dallas.
Jeffersons, Dallas need to be on there, yeah.
All three of those are pretty classic. And Living Color?
Really actually, funny.
Yeah, really funny. And then if you look at the people that were on that show, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know.
All the Wayans, like family. Jim Carrey.
Fucking Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. 30 Something was a pretty, pretty amazing show as far as what it represented. One of Jim's favorite shows, The Walking Dead.
Meh.
I do watch it, but man, the show pisses me off.
Such a love-hate relationship with that.
I know. It makes no sense, like, why I torture myself and watch
it. I'll give it credit for it being a phenomenon. I just think the show sucks.
It does. It really does. The comic is great.
Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
I don't think...
Is that the only, late night show? Oh, no, I see that.
No, David Letterman is on.
And don't get me wrong, I think they're great. Like, especially Letterman and Conan. I like both of them. But I don't know. They're not TV shows with me. They're... talk shows.
This next one I had a real issue with. People versus O.J. Simpson.
Isn't that like a really recent show?
It's incredibly recent, and having lived through the actual trial, I just can't fathom that actually being a thing that it's one of the best shows ever. I never watched any of it. I mean, it was just...
I heard it was good.
I heard it was good too, but...
What is it? I have no idea what it
is. It was basically like a mini series about the O.J. Simpson trial.
Why would anybody need that?
And Cuba Gooding Jr. played him.
And John Travolta was Robert Shapiro.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You know what? Then I automatically do not want to fucking watch it.
Wow.
I do not like John Travolta.
Can you explain this? Or I mean, not saying I'm not a big fan of him, but.
I just don't like him. I don't think he's a very good actor. He just kind of annoys the hell out of me.
Was it because of Grease?
Roles that I really enjoyed him in. I mean...
like Pulp Fiction, I guess. Pulp Fiction.
Grease, I liked him in Grease.
I fucking hate Grease. I think that movie sucks.
I like Grease.
Come on, Sandy.
A lot of it probably has to do with Olivia Newton-John, but, I mean, come on.
I liked Rizzo between the two of them.
I could see that. What, did her name start with K?
Shut the fuck up.
That was fucking funny.
I try.
I do appreciate them putting Ren and Stimpy on here, though.
Yeah.
Simpsons made an appearance.
Isn't Isn't Transparent the one with Jeffrey Tambor where he plays somebody going through transitioning from man to woman, or I don't recall.
I don't know.
It's very recent.
Girls is recent.
Never watched it. Don't like her. I don't like that that actress.
Mr. Show is a recent one, isn't it?
No, that's from the 90s. That was David...
Hasselhoff?
That was... oh, my God. What's his name? He played Tobias on Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
Was Arrested Development on there?
I'm sure it is.
It is.
Because I was going to say that needs to be on there.
That guy and the guy who played... And Bob Odenkirk did it. And, yeah, Mr. Show's really funny from the little I've seen of it. Roseanne definitely deserves to be
Roseanne,
on there.
Yeah, Roseanne is no question. It's such an amazing show. I mean, it was such the anti-sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed Sullivan, there you go. There's a late-night style show.
The State. I barely know what that is.
I know some of my friends are fans of The State. If we had Teresa on this, she could probably extol the virtues of The State. I think she's a pretty big fan of it. The Odd Couple, I mean, just classic... You know, right. Comedy. Downton Abbey. I've heard a lot of great things about that. It doesn't really seem like my cup of tea. We get to number 65, Happy Days, and
that needs to be way higher on the list. Huge Happy Days fan.
Well, but I think we need to pause and just, you know,
have a moment of silence for Chuck.
We don't do the death thing anymore. But Erin Moran just passed away.
She did.
Joni. And
like did Joni you hear the whole Scotchy? Thing?
Yes, Joni Cunningham passed away. Did you hear the whole thing with Chachi Scott Baio?
Yeah, he was just
basically
like,
saying
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, she probably died of a heroin overdose. Yeah, no, she
and,
had
like,
cancer.
Deserved to die, and I was just like, wow, like what a fucking asshole.
He's yeah. A sarge.
Yeah.
He might get, but, that's a good nomination for Sarge of the Week.
But, yeah, I really liked Happy Days. It was funny. I was flipping through, like, maybe a week or so ago, and Happy Days happened to be on, and it was an episode with Joni and Chachi performing up on the stage at Arnold's. It was, like, a week before she died, and I'm like, huh, I haven't seen this in a long while. It was like, you know, like, they have those digital stations, like the local, like, CBS, NBC, CBS, or ABC, you know, those right. Type of things. And then they have, like, the... other stations that are like part of those stations, and it happened to be one of those ones like on a weekend where they show like reruns of like the Love Boat and shit like that.
The
and
Love Boat.
Showing Happy Days, and I'm like, oh, there's Happy Days, and they're show, and it's Joni and Chachi performing up on the stage at Arnold's, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny, and then like a week later she passes away. I'm like, oh, that's too bad.
I did not even hear she did. That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah, just a few days ago. And apparently it was the Big C got her.
That sucks.
Chappelle Show?
I don't think so.
It wasn't anything I ever really watched. I
heard love Chappelle's Show.
The Wonder Years, on the other hand, was something I absolutely loved.
Good show.
I related so much to that show. But then rewatching it, I just rewatched it a couple years ago, I realized how much of an asshole Kevin Arnold was.
I haven't seen it forever.
He's such a fucking dick. He's such a dick to everybody in that show. And I think he deserved everything that he would, you know, get. You know, he had this unrequited love for Winnie, and he probably should have ended up with Winnie, but he didn't because he was such a dick.
Didn't they make a later show? Didn't they reboot that on Nick at Night or something?
I don't think so.
There's a reboot.
You're mistaking it for the show that his brother was in. They did Boy Meets World and then Girl Meets World.
No, dude, I think they rebooted it, dude.
Nah,
I don't think so.
The next.
Oh, wait a minute. Was Girl Meets World where Topanga and What's-His-Face were married?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe you're right. That is so fucked up. You knew what I was talking about, though.
I speak Jim.
Yeah, today you were, like, on point, dude.
Yeah. Sex in the City?
It wasn't my thing, but...
I mean, again, it was huge.
It was an iconic.
Yeah.
I don't even know what your show of shows is.
It's actually perhaps the oldest show that's on this list. It was Sid Caesar back in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
It was a great show. Beavis and Butthead was pretty cool for its time.
I like Beavis and Butthead.
Hill Street Blues. Roots, which was actually a miniseries. Yep. Another BBC show, Fawlty Towers.
Very funny.
24 is on here, which...
24 shouldn't be on this fucking list. 24 was so stupid.
There was parts of it that you were just like, what the fuck? Like,
it was
really?
So dumb. Yeah.
So dumb. So dumb.
Parts of it I really like, but...
The only thing I'll give 24 is that it was kind of like the first show that got me into watching, like, TV shows, I guess, because I got... It was engaged, but, like, come on. Like, it was just so... I mean, it's just like... You know, what was Jack Bauer's daughter's name? Cam! You know, it's just like, Terry! President Chalmers, or whatever his name is.
Wow.
That's like President Chalmers. That's the superintendent from The Simpsons. Yeah.
What's the president's name from 24?
I don't know. It's the
He's the guy in the Allstate commercials.
The guy from the Allstate commercials. He's like, Allstate, man, no!
I could see that, because there were some things. You remember when she got stuck in the bear trap and the lion almost attacked her?
I didn't watch it that far. I think I watched like...
That was like the first season, dude.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
That part, everybody fucking like just like railed on them about
that. Was
that.
So stupid. I haven't watched 16 Under. My mom...
I never watched it.
I want to watch it.
I've heard a lot of people
like
rave about
show.
That.
Oh, here's a gym show.
The Muppet Show is pretty iconic.
Muppet Show needs to be way higher than that.
The Bob Newhart Show is pretty iconic.
Yeah, that was a good show.
The Colbert Report, pretty...
Again, I don't agree with that.
What it is, it's pretty cool.
It's a good show, but I don't... Again, I think it's more of a talk show. It's not a TV show. It is.
So here's a good example. Like, I understand that Fargo is supposedly, like, a very, very good show, but, like, it's so recent. It's also a remake. Like, why is this almost, like, at number 50?
Yeah, I think it's just they wanted to put some stuff on there that was modern. That's
but there's
my...
so many shows that preceded this that I think should be way higher.
I totally agree.
Like, I would even put Sex and the City above that, probably, just because of its importance to, like, you know, television as a medium.
Yeah.
You know, ER, okay, Taxi.
ER, I really liked. ER, I was a big fan of. The Office, the U.S.
version. Oh, yes.
Which was pretty good.
I heard it got very bad in the later seasons.
It depends.
There were a little trying.
There were parts of the Michael Scott era that were trying, too.
Mm-hmm. You get some classic shows, The Rockford Files, Mary Tyler Moore.
To go back though to The Office, it's funny, like I watched it when it played, and now like thinking about work and watching The Office now because I started rewatching it, it's really funny, like at the time when I watched it, it's like Michael Scott was like the haha funny, you know, boss trying to be everybody's buddy, the show's funny, all that. I look at it a completely different light now.
Oh, most certainly.
I have a question. Is this Battlestar Galactica, is this the new show or the original show?
It's funny you ask that because I did actually take a look at the descriptions that they gave for each of the shows to see which one they were mentioning, and it's the newer version.
I figured, because, like, wasn't the old show, like, pretty corny?
Yes.
But, like, the new show was very, like, pretty well received.
Honestly, never watched it, but
it's on my list.
But I kind of lumped in The Rockford Files, Mary Tyler Moore, and Columbo as all kind of like classic shows. So we'll
here's
kinda...
another one, The Americans.
Like, I have no idea.
Far too recent to be considered for this list.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. NYPD Blue. I don't know that I necessarily valued that show when it was on. I don't know that it would necessarily hold up, considering it started in, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah. Remember, wasn't fucking Mark Paul Gosselaar on that show eventually?
I think
he
so.
He was eventually, yeah.
I think
there
he's a great
lot
actor,
of
though.
Really good actors on that show, though. Like, Jimmy Smits came out of that.
Yeah.
He was, He's always been a really cool actor. Like, he was on Sons of Anarchy for a little bit and a few other shows. Dexter, he was really good on everything I've ever seen him on. Just a really, really outstanding actor. I could do without, like, in retrospect, I probably didn't need to see Dennis Franz's ass. The Honeymooners, pretty classic.
Yep.
The Shield, I've never watched it, but I heard everybody really enjoys The Shield.
I need to watch The Shield.
Fuck
Lost, man. Lost fucking sucks.
You know what? I say it, and I watched it all the way through. Lost did one thing to me. It lost me.
Fuck Lost, dude.
I didn't know what the hell was going on in that show, because everything was just, like, upside down and backwards. It was just fucked up.
I think that was a show where they just, like, threw up.
Were they just trolling everybody?
No, I think they threw up a bunch of, like, really random fucking ideas in the beginning, and then they're like, oh, fuck, we have to make all of this make sense. And then it just got so out there and just so stupid, and they got comic book writers to start working on the show, and just whatever. Fuck Lost.
Well, the one thing I heard was during the strike, too. So
yeah, and you know what's funny? They got a really good comic book writer to write those episodes, and those are often considered some of the worst episodes of Lost.
Right, but I don't know. I never watched it, and I'm with Mike. I tried to watch it just to see if I could get into it, because so many people were like, oh, it's so great.
I used to watch it, and I would watch it with them, and I'm like, this show is fucking terrible.
Like, gosh, Dad, we have to watch Lost again?
Meanwhile, I would watch The Sopranos with him, and I'm like, this show fucking rules.
All right, well, we're getting towards The Sopranos. Don't you worry. But, hey, next up was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I know Liz really liked. I actually really enjoyed the movie. I never watched the show.
I've only seen, like, one or two episodes, but it's on my list to watch all of Buffy at some point.
Here's another one I'm shocked at, is Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, too soon.
I think that this is viable for the list, but I think it should be lower.
Like, it should be
just so recent, but it is a really good show.
Like 37 is way too high on the list, right? Like, it should be like maybe like 67 or 78 or something like that. It should be further up. I know Jim. Well, I'm assuming Jim is probably a huge fan of Law and Order.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Which version of Law and Order are we talking?
I think I like SVU the best.
I do like SVU the best. I mean, I don't really like procedurals all that much.
Mariska Hargitay is...
I do like Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah, but do you like her like I like her?
Do you like her like Mike Myers likes her?
Mike Myers, the comedian?
Yeah.
Why?
Have you never seen The Love Guru?
I have, but I don't remember it.
That's like his mantra is Mariska Hargitay or whatever, how the fuck you say her name.
My So-Called Life, 30 Rock, South Park.
Now, Dylan, do you have any connection to My So-Called Life, or is that...
Nope. What,
okay, I didn't think that you would, just because of when it came out, and then it was only around for like one season. It was very much like the television equivalent to Nirvana, as far as music goes. It was,
I mean, I know
angst.
I've heard of it. I know what it's like. I kind of know what it is, but
I don't know. I don't necessarily think. I mean, a lot of people just put it so high on a pedestal. I don't necessarily know if it should be up on that pedestal. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
30 Rock, I never really got into.
I didn't either, but...
I think it's qualified. I've seen very few episodes of it.
South Park?
I like South Park.
I like South Park, but I haven't watched it in years.
Yeah.
Okay, I Love Lucy?
Yes, definitely deserves to be on the list.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Iconic. Same goes with Sesame Street.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude, they're Muppets.
Same goes with Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
See, again, I think those belong in their own group.
In some respects, yes. In other respects, I think they I think they should be on this list.
Not that it's not iconic to TV, especially Carson, but I think they're in their own separate category, like a late night category or something. I don't know.
Those following along, I mean, this is Johnny Carson was the number 30, so we're into the top 30 finally. You have Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Never got into it.
Right, like a British variety show. I wasn't really into it.
I like movies.
The X-Files?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it deserves it. The
X-Files should be way higher up here. And there's so many bad episodes of the X-Files, but there's just something that I fucking love about that show.
I put it kind of, I mean, for me, I just never really got into it, and I almost put it in that Lost category, which I just didn't,
no, dude,
didn't
understand. I
didn't understand what the fuck was going on in that show.
No, dude, I love the X-Files. It's so good.
Arrested Development?
Gillian Anderson? Oh, I fucking love Gillian Anderson.
Do you know?
Did you love her like Jim likes Mariska Hargitay or whatever the hell?
Oh, I like both of them. I would watch a show.
Dylan never answered me, by the way.
About what?
Do you like her like I like her?
I like
you
her.
You like her, or do you just like her?
I'm going to check the other box.
I don't know what that
Arrested
means.
Arrested Development?
Absolutely.
A great show. Absolutely amazing show.
Next up is Friends. I really enjoyed Friends.
Friends is definitely... No,
not a fan.
Friends was... I watched it. I liked it. But Friends was one of those shows that was iconic. It was kind of like a Sex and the City, but for a different genre.
Sure.
Genre.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no D in the word genre.
Tell him, just go with it.
Okay, Leaf, Leaves.
Okay, no, 25, Veep.
Dwarves. What about Dwarves? Is there any shows about Dwarves?
No, there isn't. 25 is Veep. Way too fucking soon.
Yeah, I agree.
That showed up this high.
Actually, I don't know. That show's been on for a while.
Nah.
Still soon to be at 25.
Maybe Lights.
Friday Night too soon.
Deadwood. Fucking
Deadwood,
amazing.
I've heard so much good stuff about. I've never got around to watching it.
Fucking amazing. Love that show.
And it had a pretty short time span, didn't it?
Three like, seasons.
It was,
Oh, it's fucking amazing. It's so good.
Louie, which I heard so many
people. Great show.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had The Office US, now we have The Office UK.
Again, I don't get into the British stuff or overseas stuff.
I love The Office UK, but I just watched and it was so fucking funny. Was they did like a, I don't know what the hell you would call it, like a movie of whatever happened to David Brent, basically, who was Ricky Gervais's character.
Richie Havens?
Yeah. Ricky Gervais's character, David Brent. And it's basically him going on tour with like a band. And it's just, it's on Netflix. It's fucking hilarious. If you're a fan of The Office and you haven't seen that, I can't recommend it enough. It was really funny. I watched it like a week or two ago, and it hit on so many of the levels like that the original The Office from the UK did. Can't recommend it enough. So we're at number 20, Cheers.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, Cheers was pretty amazing.
One of the best shows ever.
Number 19, Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I absolutely adore.
I never really got into it.
I think I need to watch it.
My gosh. If you guys are any fan of Seinfeld, Larry David was largely one of the geniuses behind Seinfeld. The good stuff about Seinfeld. You gotta watch Curb Your Enthusiasm all the way through. It's so fucking good.
Like, I liked Seinfeld, but I wasn't like a Seinfeldian, if that is even a word.
I love Seinfeld.
Dude, you owe it to yourself then to watch Curb. Because it's so good. So funny. It's all of that, like, situational type stuff that occurred in Seinfeld, but, like, ramped up to, like, 11. I can't recommend it enough. It just makes me laugh. I'd probably go back and rewatch it again if you know, at some point, just because it's so funny. And it's one of those timeless type things, too. Kind of like Seinfeld. Seinfeld is really timeless, even though, like, some of the stuff looks dated. you know, like when you watch it now, Curb is the same in that fashion, where like even though like technology and stuff has changed, but the humor is really funny.
The only thing that's not timeless about Seinfeld, though, and again, it's not like I'm a super fan, but the fashion and stuff like the corded telephones and, you know, it just stuff like that, the pieces of...
Yeah, but you know what, though? My response to that is, like, you would watch that and say, like, oh, I remember when we had those.
Right, I agree,
it's
but...
It's kind of like when I watched Chasing Amy, like, a year or two ago, and there's a scene, like, in a train station, and one of the characters had to go and, like, answer a call from a pager.
Yeah. It's funny.
I
can't
remember what character it was, but I was like, oh, yeah, this has got 1999 written all over, or whatever year they made that movie in. 97 or whatever the fuck it was. But, yeah, you get my point.
Oh, we do.
Star Trek?
Fuck Star Trek.
I mean, Star Trek is pretty awesome.
Whatever.
I can see why it should be on the list, because it's pretty iconic. Never a huge Star Trek.
I don't like the original.
I like the original, except for Shatner, but I love Next Generation.
Next Generation is the fucking bomb.
This was totally just for, you know, since you asked about one of the other shows, this was strictly the original.
Right, it was.
Well, on this list, it was strictly the original.
Don't get me wrong, I got respect for Star Trek, I just never got into that version of it. But like,
I felt like if they would have put Next Generation on the list, they would have actually had it as a separate entity on the list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, I agree. Well, I know what you're saying.
Next up, Twin Peaks.
Should be fucking higher. I fucking love Twin Peaks.
Never seen it.
I tried.
Oh, I fucking love Twin Peaks.
I made it about midway through the second season, and I haven't gone back to it.
Well, that's because the second season is really, really is like really like all over the place in terms of quality, but like I still love it. I think Twin Peaks is awesome.
There's another show later on in this list that I did even worse on, and we'll get to that one because I just don't get it. But the next one is one I think we've had a discussion about this show before, and it's a show that I value more so now than I did at like when it was first on, when I remember it as a kid. Is MASH.
Oh yes, I agree.
MASH is so fucking hilarious now, but like when I was a kid, I was just like, I didn't want anything to do with it. As a kid, I was like, this show sucks. But now I look at it and go, oh my god, this show's amazing.
Yeah, that's a valid. I watched it like with my uncle. He like really dug it, so I thought it was a good show. I liked it back then.
I remember it being on in syndication up against the Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Show with Linda. And what show do you think I wanted to watch?
Oh, MASH.
Oh, I wanted to watch Wonder Woman, dude.
Kidding. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, first of all, Wonder Woman was a scantily dressed woman and superhero. So
exactly.
Man. She was badass.
Fuck yeah.
She was pretty amazing.
Hey, how come the Batman show wasn't on here?
I don't know.
Yeah, if the original Star Trek can be on there, why can't Batman?
I think Batman and Robin needed to be on here.
I don't know. Well, next up, number 15. Just in case you're keeping track at home. The West Wing.
Never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. Another one of those like shows that was kind of supposed to be a talk show, but was a comedy. Larry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
Larry Sanders, not Barry Sanders. Not the Detroit Lions running back, who was amazing in his own right, but Larry Sanders, which is, the late Gary Shandling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He had a show, too, that I heard was pretty good, too.
The Gary Shandling show?
Yeah, I never watched it.
I never did either, but I did hear it was good. I thought he was funny.
I like Gary Shandling.
To go along with the late night show talk shows was, I'm going to clarify this. They had it listed as Late Night with David Letterman, but they also included both his run with NBC and CBS in the entirety of having the song.
I'm not a David Letterman fan. And this is coming from somebody who actually went to one of his shows. Like, I'm just not a David Letterman fan. You, I don't like the way he interviews guests.
I like the show. Plus, he's creepy. I like the show. Like, when I was in college, it was, like, one of those things I would watch. But, I mean, after I got out of college, I didn't watch it ever.
That's one of the things I was going to say, too. I think when I was a kid, like, watching TV with my grandparents or my parents, like I said, my uncle with MASH, I think I watched a lot more TV when I was younger. And my entertainment now has probably shifted more towards movies and stuff like that. But I don't necessarily watch a lot of TV.
I watch a lot more TV than you do. I love TV. Like, I love the medium. But I do not love Game of Thrones. I mean, I like it, but I actually think this one should be on the list because it was such a phenomenon, but not number 12. Come on. Come on!
Which one's 12?
Game of Thrones.
No.
I've watched the first episode. I think now I'm up to, like, the third time that I've watched the first episode. I haven't watched any other episode of it, which is strange. I know that sounds weird, but just recently I watched the first episode of it again, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get around to watching more of it. And I haven't. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
You just die into it. On the other hand, Freaks and Geeks, fucking rules.
There is one show that I'm going to contradict myself on here, and I'm sure we'll all agree when you get to it, but go ahead.
Freaks and Geeks was pretty amazing, very relatable.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know if you ever have, Dylan, or not, but there's a related show to it that's also a Judd Apatow show called Undeclared.
Oh. Yeah, I watched it. That was more of a mixed bag for me.
I mean, I like both. Freaks and Geeks, I think
that had more soul and originality to it. I thought Undeclared was very, I didn't think it was great.
I wouldn't put it on the list, but I would put it on a, like, if you're going to watch Freaks and Geeks, I think a companion type show that you should watch after it, you should watch Undeclared.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that there was just a lot of it that I just did not find very funny. Although it is kind of funny to see Charlie Hunnam in a very early role.
Ah, yes. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy, which you'll notice is not on this list because, I mean, I know you really enjoy it, Mike, but
I love Sons.
I have a lot of problems with that show.
I can understand that.
So, but now we're in the top 10.
Top 10. So number 10 was The Daily Show.
I mean, I fucking love Jon Stewart, and I fucking love The Daily Show. Again, Jim's point, it's more of a talk show. But, I mean, I understand why it's on this list. People got their information from The Daily Show, even though it was a satirical show.
That's because it was probably more of a genuine report than the news.
Exactly. So, and I mean, I fucking love Jon Stewart. He's definitely one of my favorite comedians.
Right. Number 9... All in the Family, which I'll put right in that same category as MASH, is one of those shows, like, I look back on now and I go, oh my God, what an amazing show.
Right.
Like, the topics and the humor and everything that that show represented, I appreciate what it is now more than I did when I was a kid.
Well, that's another show they'd never get away with making now.
Oh, there is no way in hell they could make that show. What's funny is one of the other shows that was on this list was The Jeffersons, which was actually a spinoff from All in the Family.
Yep.
Number 8, which I think it's a very appropriate show to have on this list, is Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Again, kind of contradicts my – it's not a talk show. It's not a TV show, but I don't – Saturday Night Live's been around forever. It has
it's a variety show.
Yeah.
It's comedy. It's music. It's satirical humor. It's actually got some of that aspects of, like, what The Daily Show has as far as, like, it does do news, but it does it, like, in a, satirical way. I hate to use the same word, but it's got its place in our our entertainment history, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, we'll have for a very long time.
Yeah.
The Twilight Zone is pretty iconic. I mm-hmm. think that's no question about that. Number six is The Simpsons, which I think is very appropriate that it's on the list and it's as high as it is.
I agree.
Amazing run for a show. The show, I still watch it regularly. I still watch the new episodes that they're producing, and I think they're
just as good. Now, see, I got into The Simpsons, but I never really got. I got into South Park, and it was really funny, but it never held my attention like The Simpsons did.
I still watch The Simpsons, and I still watch Family Guy. Those two I really much enjoy.
All right, top five.
Top five. So we got Seinfeld, which, again, I mean, we discussed before. It's an amazing show. Number four, Mad Men.
I don't know about that.
Also a very good show. I really like Mad Men. And this is... I definitely think it deserves to be on the list.
Oh, definitely. I don't know about number four, though.
This is the show.
It's a damn good show.
This is the show that I was referring to when I said there was a show on this list that I tried watching multiple times, and I made it midway through the third season twice, and I gave up. I couldn't do it. It didn't hold my interest at all. I was just like, I don't know what I'm watching.
I really like Mad Men.
I couldn't do it. Number three, on the other hand, is a show that just captured my imagination. If you ever want to cheer for, like, the anti-hero, you're going to cheer for Walter White.
Yeah,
this is the show that I said I was going to contradict myself on, because it is somewhat more of a recent show, but hands down, Breaking Bad is one of the best shows ever fucking made. My probably favorite drama. Cheers is probably my favorite comedy or sitcom, but it's
that show that captured you from the first episode
yep.
all the way to the last. There's not anything that ever disrupted you from wanting to see what the end game was from the beginning of that show to the end of the show.
And almost every episode, at least 95% of them, I was sitting there going, holy fuck, the hour's up already. And I'm like, what? Now I can't wait till it was like, I'd wait for next week. Whereas like The Walking Dead, how everybody fucking goes apeshit over it. There's nothing in The Walking Dead except for the end season or mid season cliffhanger that makes me go, I can't fucking wait for next week.
I mean, people still, like, just get so pissed off about cliffhangers and not understanding, hey, that's a device in a TV show. Just blows my mind.
Sorry.
Here we are a year later, and we're still having that topic, you know, come up and go, oh my god, they're not going to tell us what happened until October.
But cliffhangers were a regular part of everyday TV, or everyday, or season shows.
One of the other shows that was on this list, Who Shot JR?
Right, we talked about it in length.
Yeah. But, hey, you know what? I don't think they necessarily left us on a cliffhanger with The Walking Dead this past season, but, you know, it still blows my mind that people bitch and complain about shit like that. This next show, I think we have such discerning opinions on it. I think we've discussed it before. And
see, if it were up to me, it'd be number one, because it's my all-time favorite show ever.
I just don't get this. I don't get it.
Because I fucking love The Wire. It is amazing in its storytelling.
I've never seen it.
It's characters. It's humor. It's the best fucking show I've ever seen in my life.
I watched it all the way through. My brother watched it all the way through. And we pretty much had the same take dead on. Both of us just going, I don't know what I watched.
Dude, I don't know how you can even say. I mean, I
all right, I'm gonna need to watch it now.
Opinion, but like, yeah. I just don't get it. It's like such an amazing.
Well, that was my drama. Reaction. Was I just don't get it. I don't get what I watched. What happened? I mean, I felt like the pace. I mean,
to me, it's perfection. I couldn't ask for a better show. I mean, I think I have problems with the fifth season, but it's my favorite show of all time.
You know what?
How many seasons were there?
The best? The one with the docs?
Yes, that's the season I like the best. That's the season that made the most sense to me, was the one that everybody hated.
Oh, really? I really like the second season.
Yeah, nobody liked that. That's a really good season. Everything that I read up on that show was that how much everybody hated the second season. And that's
I think if you read up on it now, I think a lot of people... I really like the second season. I mean, if anything, I dislike the fifth season the most.
Well, I watched the whole run of it well after it came out. And
so did I! I watched it almost straight through, and I loved it. Like, okay, so number one is The Sopranos. And, like, The Sopranos is fucking awesome. I just like The Wire because it just didn't... It predated The Sopranos, and it was... Did it predate The Sopranos? I think it did. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But I just... You know, I just like it that much, little bit more than The Sopranos. Although The Sopranos is fucking awesome, and that definitely changed the way...
Honestly, I think Breaking Bad probably should leapfrog over both of those. But
I disagree.
I really like The Sopranos. I didn't get The Wire at all. I just don't get the hype.
All right, I'm gonna need to watch it now.
I see what they were going for, but it just seemed very slow, very plotting, very there just wasn't much there. And the pacing of the seasons just seemed very off. Like,
I don't know if you would like Deadwood then, Mike, because Deadwood is
Deadwood.
What's crazy is, you know what one of the other shows was that the guy that The Wire did was
Tremé, and you Tremé. Really like Tremé,
and I love Tremé. You know what I loved about Tremé was how much that guy captured the spirit of New Orleans.
Well, and he captured the spirit of Baltimore.
Apparently, it wasn't a very good spirit because oh my god. That spirit was just, it didn't do much for me. I'm sorry, dude. I mean.
You don't have to apologize to me. You can apologize to the guy who created the show.
Well, I know there's so many people that I've read over the years that really loved that show, and I don't understand why. I don't see it. And I mean, I tried. I think I stopped and started that show multiple times, and then finally I think it was the second or third time when I finally made it through all of it, and I went, okay. And when I finally finished, I went, I don't know what I watched. I was like,
Hey, did you notice Entourage wasn't on this list?
Oh, you know what? That was a fucking great show.
That show I never understood.
That show sucks.
You don't like Entourage? I thought it was Jeremy Piven's is fucking hilarious.
I used to watch it all the time, and then I was like, this show sucks, and Jeremy Piven is annoying as fuck.
I think he's fucking hilarious.
I completely disagree.
I never watched it, I just didn't get it.
So that's the 100 greatest shows, according to Rolling Stone.
Interesting list, there's not much on this list that I can necessarily disagree with. Maybe some of the order of what stuff's on the list, but...
I think they neglected to include G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Nice.
Even though Transformers was kind of a silly show to begin with.
Wow. I'm not fucking watching The Wire now. Fuck you.
Oh, come on. It was corny. But it was great because it just connected with people for some reason. And that movie is awesome. It is so awesomely ridiculous.
The cartoon movie is, not the fucking Michael Bay shit.
Not the Michael Bay shit, the cartoon movie, you know, with the touch.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest song that's ever been written in the history of songs.
And so you like Stan Bush, is what you're saying?
That song is amazing!
Nice.
I love that song, dude. I have it on my iPod.
You got the touch.
I remember blast that song in high school. You would just drive around, we were getting our fucking lunch. Like, we'd be driving through a Wendy's.
We'd be driving?
I'd be driving. And he'd be like, what do you want? And we would just have, like, you got the touch! You got the power! Like, blasting out of the fucking, speakers. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Easter egg.
That's not an Easter egg. You leave that shit in, Mike.
I think it needs an Easter egg mention also. Put it in both places.
Perhaps.
That's some crazy shit right there, man.
It's Dylan.
It's me.
And I'm Dylan.
No, you're Jeff.
I'm Dylan.
Yeah, you're Mike.
Wait, what? Huh?
Huh? Eh? Eh?
All right. Well.
Dylan is the Sarge of the Week.
Oh.
Wow, look at that. Dylan comes out on video. Like, where's your shirt?
So Sarge of the Week, huh? I can tell you about my Sarge.
Oh, who's that? You? Me?
No. I mean, I probably should be a Sarge because I wasn't listening.
You're my Sarge.
But prior to that... Oh. Well, Dylan's
getting
now for interrupting with that burp. Yeah, so I went to a few shows this past week, right? As Dylan is apt to do, he likes to go to concerts. Well, so do I. So I went to a show with Robert Randolph, who's a pretty good pedal steel guitar player. And then
is pedal steel the same thing as a lap steel guitar?
Similar, except it's got pedals down below the lap.
That's the only difference?
Yeah, but it changes the tone.
Okay.
You'll see, like, a lot of, like, country bands have pedal steel guitar players, and it kind of sounds like a slide guitar. So, I went to that show, and he was really good and everything, and then I went to a couple shows at Three Heads the couple nights after that, so Friday and Saturday night. So, Sean and I went to the show Saturday night, and it was really weird. It was a whole bunch of old guys playing this music, and it was really kind of like jammy, spacey kind of stuff. Also, like a reggae vibe.
It was a Bulgarian show?
Well.
So we're watching this show, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, man, something really fucking stinks right here.
Oh, it's me.
No, actually, it wasn't this time. So I just, I'm like, man, I look over at Sean, I'm like, man, it smells like someone really fucking ripped one just now. And he's like, I don't smell anything. So, but I think he's one of those guys, though, like, if it was him, he would have probably admitted that, like, that it was him. So, like, maybe, what, 15, 20 minutes later, we're just hanging there, we're listening to the music, we're jamming out, and all of a sudden, it happens again. And it's just, it's almost, I think it's worse the second time around.
I know that feeling, though, of, like, you smell something really bad, and, like, it's very obviously, like, some sort of, like, human odor, and it goes away, because, like, your scent eventually, like, kind of, like, loses its, you know... The human scent is really weak, so it just sort of fades. But then it'll just creep back up on you, like they did it again. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Well, almost to a point like where like you get used to the scent.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But this time, Sean's like, wait a minute, is that it? He smelled it. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. I swear to God, man, someone was just ripping ass. Like,
I wasn't there.
To the point where like it was so fucking disgusting that we both moved.
Did you ever figure out who it was?
No. I was just, I mean, they have fucking bathrooms there. Just go take a shit or something, dude.
Sometimes it's just gas, you know?
Meanwhile, Jeff Dale is sitting behind the bar just like...
I wouldn't put it past him, man, to be doing that.
He's just like, these Crandall guys don't know what they've walked into. Oh!
Don't you know?
What was that, like, Mexican place we went to the first time I came up to Rochester, Mike?
Oh, John's Tex-Mex, yeah.
John's Tex-Mex? It's just like, oh, I had a burrito from John's Tex-Mex. Those Crandall boys are in for it.
I could see Jeff doing something like that to us.
And all that just droned out by, like, the heavy bass tone. Alright, so Fart Man was your Sarge.
Yeah, anonymous farter, yeah.
Was it kind of like this?
I don't know. I at least heard that. I didn't hear it from whoever the fuck was
that. That had a good rhythm to it, Jim. It was like...
Whoever was...
Thanks, man.
whoever
you know what
was.
You know what that sounded like, Jim? It was like dip. It was like dip bow bow.
Nice. I thought it sounded like Pitbull.
Hey, man.
Try, man.
Well, whoever it wasn't audible, Jim.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a Sarge of the Week, except for you, Mike.
You, Jim, do you have a Sarge for this week?
I really don't have one.
I would nominate you, but I think the stinky farter kind of trumps you, so.
Wait, you think I was the farter?
No. I said I would nominate you because you ignored our 10-minute conversation only to be like, hey, you know, same thing.
I'd have to go with what we said earlier with Scott Baio.
Oh, Scott Baio is definitely a Sarge.
Fuck Scott
Baio. Actually, you know what? I think Scott Baio, you know, I think it sucks that you had to be standing next to somebody who was ripping ass the whole time, but, like, Scott Baio basically said somebody deserved to die because they were a drug addict. That's fucked up.
You know what's crazy? Has Scott Baio, like, actually been, like, more relevant in the news, like, in the last year than he has been in the last 15 years?
Yeah, because he went to because he was one of the only celebrities at the Trump inauguration.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. Like, we live in a world where Scott Baio is once again relevant.
In a world
where Scott Baio is relevant.
And that guy's dead too.
Was it, like Independence Day 3?
Starring Scott Baio.
We get attacked by the aliens because of Scott Baio.
Nice.
We're just like, just fucking kill him. Like, if that's all you gotta do, just take him out.
No, please. You can kill him.
Yeah. We don't even want you to have him. Just, like, kill him. Throw him into space. Let him pop.
We're like, the tagline is, Charles is not in charge.
I would say he gets Sarge of the Week.
I second that. That was kind of.
I mean, stinky farter. That sucks. But at least you moved.
No, stinky farter smells.
Yeah, at least the venue was big enough that we could move, like, to another part of the venue and still enjoy the show and not the show.
Not the stink. It wasn't like sniffo. It wasn't sniffo-rama.
Exactly.
It wasn't scratch and sniff.
No. Ugh. Just horrible, man.
Horrible.
Yes.
So, all right, Scott Baio gets Sarge of the Week.
Hey, you know what, Scott Baio, you can go fuck yourself. But you know who else?
Oh yeah, Chris Seymour, you can go fuck yourself too.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to get some new headphones. I think
you'll have to go to Five Below and get another $5. Headset.
$5, Chuck.
I think my headphones are gonna be a Sarge of the Week too. All right, but if you want to find out what kind of headphones I get next, yeah, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
If you want to see pictures of Mike's headphones, you can follow us on Instagram at JimsBBQPod. And if you want to get day-to-day updates about his headphones, you follow us on Twitter at JimsBBQPod.
If you guys want to find out why Mike can't really hear anything, you can email us and ask what he was saying at jimsbbqpod.com.
You know what I'm saying?
Whoops, I fucked it all up. You can email us at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com, or you can go straight to the website and download Mike Not Hearing Anything at www.jimsbbqpod.com.
Don't forget, you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Boom.
As Dylan always says,
don't do it.
To Jim's chagrin. Jim's chagrin?
Nice.
Jim is chagrin. Jim
is chagrin.
Jim chagrin.
Nice. Wow. You know we recorded way too long. Mike's mixing up some Disney songs.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
That was pretty good, though, actually.
You were down in FLA.
I was. Indeed, I was.
Not at the O or the D or whatever the fuck Dylan was saying.
Yeah. Dylan's a D. For Dylan, I mean.
Huh?
Dylan's a D for Dylan.
But, okay.
Your name doesn't start with D?
It does. It does.
Indeed, it does.
It does start with a D.
thanks for visiting Jim's BBQ, where we are always hogging all the special sauce.
That's pretty good.
Mmm. Special.
Get it? Like a hog?
Well, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can, you know, get rid of all this part, because it's kind of not necessary. Oh, God, we're going to do... Are you shirtless?
Ooh. Yeah, dude. It's hot.
What? What the fuck?
Oh, does he have, like, his camera on?
Yeah. Someone's gonna walk in and be like, what are you, like, jerking it?
Look at those pepperonis.
Those pepperonis.
They look like little, crispy pepperonis out of pizza. They're vertical pepperonis.
Nice.
Duds.
Yeah, I don't have any pants on either. You see?
Awesome. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't want to see that again.
All right, you ready?
Yo, fuck off!
All right, let's rock.
You ready, Curly?
Yep.
You ready to rock out with your cock out?
I am. Be. Yeah, you don't know. I could very well be.
What lies beneath the camera frame?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right.
All right, well, we need to finish up. I think we should just get
hit
Stars of the Week and wrap it up then.
So, no, we'll skip past Would You Rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
Yeah. Next week? Oh, we're going to record again?
Are you going to do an epic Stars of the Week?
I don't know. I'm kind of tired.
Oh.
What do you want? And we would just have, like, you got the touch!